You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Please join me in praying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Welcome, everyone, to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Brothers and sisters, you know, the Christian life is not meant to be frustrating or impossible to live up to, but there are essential truths that will keep your relationship with Christ fresh and dynamic and fulfilling. So I wanted to share with you ways of how to be filled with the Spirit, how to find peace and rest in Christ, and how to reach others for Christ. You know, in Luke chapter 24, verse 31, it said, "Their eyes were opened and they knew him." It's very possible to have Jesus himself with you and not know it. It's very possible to listen to all the truth about Jesus and even preach about it, and yet not know him. And this fact has made a really deep impression on me. That was the case of the disciples who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus after he was resurrected. Their hearts burned within them as they talked with him about all the events of his crucifixion and the reports of his resurrection. These disciples spent a very blessed time with Jesus, but if they had gone away before he revealed himself that evening, they would never have been sure it was Jesus, for they had been prevented from recognizing him. And this, I'm sorry to say, is the condition of a great number of people in the Church of Christ. They know that Christ has risen from the dead. They believe in him. They frequently have blessed experiences that come from the risen Christ. And very often at a Bible meeting or in a study or in a time of silent Bible reading or when God gives his grace to them in a special way, their hearts burn. Yet it can be said of many Catholic Christians whose hearts are burning within them, but they don't know that it is Jesus himself who is with them. So it is a blessing that we should seek from God. My answer would be this: not only should we think about Jesus himself and speak about him and study about him, but we should come to the point at which the disciples in the text arrived. They knew him. Everything is to be found in that. In the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we can think about at the first part that you know, they were very sad and they had troubled hearts. You know, it was a time in which the heart is slow to believe. And then there's a burning heart at the highest level that we're to reach of having a satisfied heart. Imagine how the disciples were feeling that morning as they started on their journey. And their hearts were sad and troubled because they thought that Jesus was dead. They didn't know that he was alive. And this is the way it is with a lot of Catholic Christians. They look to the cross and they struggle to trust Christ, but they have yet learned the blessedness of believing that there is a living Christ who will do everything for them. The words that the angel spoke to the women who came to Christ's tomb on the morning of the resurrection were striking. Why seek ye the living among the dead? What is the difference between a dead Christ whom the women had gone to anoint and a living Christ? Well, the difference is that I must do everything for a dead Christ, but a living Christ does everything for me. The disciples began the morning with a very sad heart, and it's very possible that they even had a sleepless night. What a terrible disappointment they had experienced. They had hoped that Christ would be the deliverer of Israel, and yet they had seen him in an uncursed death. Their bitter sadness cannot possibly be expressed. Again, the life of many Christians is much the same. They try to believe in Jesus and to trust him and to hope in him, but they have no joy. Why? They do not know that there is a living Christ who can be revealed to them. You know, brothers and sisters, Christian life needs to be at the burning heart stage, right? So when Jesus came to the two disciples, and after he had reproved them, he began to interpret the scriptures for them and to tell them of all the wonderful things the prophets had taught. Then their eyes were opened and they began to understand the scriptures. They saw that it was true, that it had been prophesied that Christ must rise. And as the living, risen one talked, a mighty spiritual power emanated from him. It rested upon them, and they began to feel their hearts burn with joy and gladness. And you may be saying, well, this is the final stage at which we need to arrive. Yet, God forbid that you should stop there. You may arrive at this stage, and yet something will still be lacking, the revelation of Christ. The disciples had a blessed experience of his divine power, but he had not revealed himself. Our hearts often burn within us and in blessed fellowship with God's people. These are the precious experiences of the working of God's grace. Jesus himself has been working in us, and the power of his risen life has touched us. But we have not been able to say, I have met him. He had made himself known to me. There is a great difference between a burning heart, which becomes cold after a while, and which comes and goes, and the blessed revelation of Jesus himself as my Savior, who takes charge of me and blesses me and keeps me every day. So, how to know Jesus? Well, if you are sad and you're unable to comprehend or accept this, and if you're saying, I have never yet known the joy of faith, right? Because I'm going to tell you how you can know it. Everything centers around one thing. Just as a little child lives day by day in the arms of his mother and grows up year after year under his mother's loving eye, it is possible for you to live every day and hour of your life in fellowship with the Holy Jesus. Let your sad heart begin to hope. You may be asking, will he really reveal himself? He did it for the disciples, and he will do it for you, brothers and sisters. Perhaps you have arrived at the stage of this burning heart and can relate many blessed experiences that you've had, but somehow something's lacking. The experiences do not last, and your heart is very changeable. So come, beloved believer, and follow Christ. Say, Jesus, reveal yourself so that I may know you personally. I am not only asking to drink the living water, I want the fountain. I am not only asking to bathe myself in the light, I want the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness within my heart. I'm not only asking to know you, who have touched me and warmed my heart and blessed me, but I want to know that I have the unchangeable Jesus dwelling within my heart and remaining with me forever. So then, what are the conditions under which our blessed Lord reveals himself? First of all, we can conclude that Christ revealed himself to those disciples who had given up everything for him. He had said to them, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Well, brothers and sisters, we know that many of us are carrying some very heavy crosses these days. It isn't easy going through the day and someone preaching to you on the radio about, you know, having faith and trust and that God loves you and that God wants to take care of you. But I will say to you, Jesus took up his cross on the way to Calvary. He took up his cross. He knew what was pending. He knew what was coming. And he took it up without saying, no, please, no. He took it and he accepted it. He trusted Almighty God. We must do the same, brothers and sisters. We are carrying crosses. But be assured that Jesus is with you through every step that you take with your cross. Ask him to lighten your burden. Ask him to strengthen you, to give you courage, to give you acceptance. You know, brothers and sisters, he had said to his disciples, you know, he knew that, well, he said, yet ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father had appointed unto me. And that's Luke 22, verses 28, 29, 30. They were not perfect men, but they would have died for him. They had loved him, obeyed him, followed him. They had left everything, and for 3 years they had been following Christ earnestly. And so you might be saying, well then, tell me what Christ wants for me so that I may have his wonderful presence. Tell me the kind of person to whom Christ will reveal himself in this highest and fullest way. My answer is this. He will reveal himself to the one who is ready to follow him. If Christ is to give himself wholly to me, he must know that I'm wholly committed to him. I trust that God will give us grace so that these words that I'm saying to you about consecration and surrender, not only of all evil, but of many lawful things, and even if necessary, of life itself, it may lead us to understand the demand that Jesus makes upon us. A motto that's often quoted is God first. God first. In one sense, it's a beautiful motto, and yet we're not always satisfied with it because it's a motto that's often misunderstood. God first may mean I second, something else third, and something else fourth. And so in this hierarchy, God is first in order, but he still is one of a series of authorities, and that is not the place God wants. The true meaning of the phrase God first is God all, God everything. And this is what Christ wants, to be willing to give up to surrender ourselves, to submit to Christ so that he may teach us what he wants to say to us and what he wants us to do. So if we are ready to take this step and to say, Jesus, I do surrender myself to you and ask you and say, Lord Jesus, please reveal yourself to me. Don't hesitate to do this. Speak it from your heart and let this be the time in which a new sacrifice is laid at the feet of the blessed Lamb of God. So, my friends, those who persevere in seeking the revelation, well, will come. They don't rest until they obtain it. And when the disciples were talking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, their hearts were burning. And as they drew close to their destination, Christ acted as if he were going farther. He put them to the test. And if they had allowed him to go on quietly, if they had been content with the experience of the burning heart, they would have lost something infinitely better. But they were not content with it. They were not content to go home to the other disciples that night and say, wow, what a blessed afternoon we had. What great teaching we had. No, the burning heart and the blessed experience made them say, sir, abide with us. And they compelled him to come in with them. And this also, you know, reminds us of a story of Jacob, who wrestled with a man all night and then said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And that's in Genesis 32, chapter 32, verse, 26. This is the quality that prepares us for the revelation of Jesus. My dear friend, has this been the attitude in which you've looked upon the wonderful blessing of the presence of Jesus? Have you said, my Lord Jesus, even though I don't understand it, and though I cannot grasp it, and though my struggles don't accomplish anything, I'm not going to let you go. If it is possible for a sinner on earth to have you dwelling in his heart, in resurrection power every day, every hour, and every moment, shining within him, filling him with love and joy, then I want it. So, then say it this, brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus, I cannot let you go unless you bless me. So my dear friends, as you can see, you know, it's very important to spend some time in the Word of God, right? There are many Christians who discover that the best time of the day is when they read and explore their Bibles, and they make a point of it, and they'll say, well, every morning or in the evening. You have to choose a good time for yourself that is best for you. But getting into the Word of God. As a person who mines diamonds rejoices when he has found a diamond, or someone who digs for gold, and when he has found a nugget, that exclamation, right? They delight when they get some new thought from the Bible. They get some new thoughts and they feed upon it. And yet, even with all their interest in God's word and with all the joy that is stirred in their hearts, when they go to their work or attend to their daily duties, they still find that there's something missing in their lives. And from time to time, we must leave all the many and diverse blessings that Jesus gives us and come to the one blessing that encompasses them all. The blessing that Jesus makes himself known, that Jesus is willing to make himself known to us. If I were to ask, is this not exactly what you need and I need and what many of us have been longing for? I'm sure you would answer, yes, this is what I want. Think of the blessedness that will come from it. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, praise God. Praise the deliverance and the cleansing power that comes when the living Jesus comes and gives power. Then you have the resurrected Christ, the heavenly Christ who sits on the throne, making himself known to you. And this is the secret of purity and the secret of strength. So, brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful friend in Jesus. He is our best friend ever. Jesus says, and you might be thinking, well, how will this revelation come? Jesus will tell you. Just come to the Lord Jesus and say a simple, childlike prayer. You need to come to Jesus yourself, right? I have pointed you to the Lamb of God, to the risen one. You must now enter into the presence of the Holy One and begin to plead, O Savior, I have come so that I might have this blessedness with me at all times. Jesus himself, my portion forever. So, brothers and sisters, it isn't easy, I know. We all have many struggles and difficulties and failures, right? We've got lots that we could complain about. And many of us, especially during this Lenten season and Easter season now, we've all tried to make a new effort to begin a holy life. And I know that your hearts sometimes are afraid that you might fail again. And because you've experienced maybe so many difficulties and temptations, and because of the natural weakness of our own character, well, I want you to understand that you can venture to hope, and that you will be able to describe the glorious heavenly Lord Jesus to other believers so that they can see him in his glory. Can your eyes see that there is a divine almighty Christ who does actually come into people's hearts, who faithfully promises, right? In Hebrews, in John 14, verse 23, he will keep my word. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And what does Jesus say in Hebrews 13? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They are not my words, brothers and sisters, right? But however, our Lord Jesus can use us as simple servants to encourage others, to help other Christian Catholics, and to encourage them and to say and urge them to come into the presence of Jesus and to wait on him. And he will reveal himself to us. I pray that God may use his precious word to encourage you in this. You know, Jesus makes a promise. He says to us, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is a promise. And what a promise, brothers and sisters. The disciples, they walked about together all day, all night, right? They ate together. They stayed at the same house. They were continually together. The presence of Jesus was the training school of his disciples. They were united to him by that wonderful communion of love for 3 long years, right? But after his resurrection, just before he ascended to heaven, he said to them, you know, I will always be with you till even until the end of the world. That's quite the promise. Christ was with Peter in the boat, and Christ sat with John at the Last Supper. Yet I can have Christ with me in just as real a way. In fact, we can have him in a more complete way. For before Christ's resurrection, they knew him as a human being, an individual who was separate from them. But I may know Christ as the one who is glorified in the power of the throne of God, the omnipotent Christ, the omnipresent Christ. Yes, what a promise. And you think, well, how is that even possible? It is possible because Christ is God. And because Christ, after having been made a human being, went up into the throne and the life of God, and now that blessed Christ Jesus with his loving, pierced heart, that blessed Christ Jesus who lived on earth, that same Christ who was glorified into the glory of God can be in me and can be with me every day. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? I want you to think about Jesus throughout your day. And if you need to surrender the surrender novena, right? And I have it here with me. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And if you want, you would say that 10 times in the novena. And if this were day one, you would say, and here is the first one for day one. I will just share that little piece with you. It was given by Jesus to Father Delindo Rutolo. Day one, why do you confuse yourselves by worrying? Leave the care of your affairs to me, and everything will be peaceful. I say to you in truth that every act of true, blind, complete surrender to me produces the effect that you desire and resolves all difficult situations. O Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Brothers and sisters, that will truly help you for sure. So the surrender novena is wonderful. You know, brothers and sisters, when a three-month-old baby sleeps in his mother's arms, he lies there helplessly. He hardly knows his mother. He does not think of her, but the mother thinks of the child, and that is the blessed mystery of love. Jesus, the God-man, waits to come to us in the greatness of his love. And when he gets possession of our hearts, he embraces us in those divine arms and tells us, my child, I, the faithful one, I, the mighty one, will remain with you. I will watch over you and keep you every day. He tells us this, brothers and sisters, that he will come into our hearts so that we can be happy Christian Catholics, a holy Christian, a useful Christian. And you might say, oh, if only I could believe that. If only I could believe that it's possible to have Christ constantly taking and keeping charge of me every hour of every moment. Well, guess what? That is exactly my message to you. When Jesus said to his disciples, lo, I am with you always, he meant it. In the fullness of the divine omnipresence, in the fullness of divine love, and he longs to reveal himself to you and to me as we've never seen him before. And now, just think about what a blessed life it must be to have the continual presence of Jesus. And is that, my friends, not the secret of peace and happiness? Right? So, that is the secret of unspeakable joy. God promises it's for you and for me. Jesus will do it. As God, he is able, and Jesus is willing and longing as the crucified one to keep you in perfect peace. That is a wonderful fact. And that is the secret of holiness. Instead of indwelling sin, there is an indwelling Christ who conquers it. Instead of indwelling sin, there is the indwelling life and light and love of the blessed Son of God. So with that, thank you, brothers and sisters. I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. God bless you all, and thank you for joining me today here on Radio Maria, and you've been listening to The Father's Quilt.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had